Hello and welcome to our site as we return to our series entitled Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. I do hope you have your Bible with you and that you're able to turn with us this morning to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. Be reading from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, and I hope that you'll be able to follow that reading when we come to it in your Bible. In our series Back to the Bible, we've looked at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and last Sunday morning we came to the book of Numbers. And we settled in at Numbers chapter 6 on the priestly blessing that Aaron and the priests were to say over the people of Israel. That opened up the whole concept of blessing and what the blessing of God really means. And so we began to unpack that as last Sunday we spoke about the blessing of God's presence, the blessing of God's presence. When you have His presence with you, well, you really have everything, and it's a place of awe, it's a place of joy, it's a place of great blessing. And so this morning we're going to look at the blessing of God's power, and I'd like you to hear the word of God as I read to you the prayers of the Apostle Paul as he prays for these believers in Ephesus in the first century. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, Paul says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And here's what he prays. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power, for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Then if you'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and the second prayer that's recorded in detail here is from verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." Out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What wonderful prayers, emphasizing the blessing of God's power. How that power is at work, and why it is at work in those of us who are Christ followers. The blessing of God's power. In 1974, a graduating student from seminary felt compelled in his spirit to drive 500 kilometers to the California Baptist Convention to hear one of America's renowned preachers of the time, the late Dr. W. A. Criswell, from the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. At the end of the service, Dr. Criswell laid hands on the young man and prayed for the blessing of God to rest upon his ministry, stating as he closed that God was going to use him powerfully. That young man was Rick Warren, who started Saddleback Community Church from scratch, saw it grow to multiplied thousands, authored The Purpose-Driven Life, which sold over 40 million copies in a very short period of time. Last Sunday morning I mentioned the Hebridean Revival, which broke out in the middle of the last century. God began to pour out a spirit of supplication and intercession. A young man in a prayer meeting that had been going on for several hours on one island had a revelation of the Sovereign Lord of Heaven and cried out aloud in the middle of the prayer meeting, "There's power there!" It seemed like the power at the throne of God was suddenly released upon God's people, and in the years that followed, literally hundreds and hundreds of people were saved, repented of their sins, placed their trust in Jesus, were born again, filled with the Spirit of God, their lives transformed, and they began to change their world. I remember in 1962, sitting enthralled as I listened to Mary Morrison and Colin Peckham relate stories of lives so totally changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ during the Hebridean Revival. Well, is there anyone this morning listening to the sound of my voice who's crying out with the psalmist today, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Revive us, O Lord, in the midst of the years." This was the heart cry of the psalmist. Is it perhaps your heart cry this morning? Oh, I pray so. The subject of power is a tricky one, is it not? Of course, all the power in the world emanates from El Shaddai, from God Almighty, the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Even Satan's power comes from God, reminding us that even the blessing of God's power can be abused and misused, and that's a rather frightening thing, is it not? In the book of Judges, chapters 13 to 15, we have the earthy story of Samson. The Spirit of the Lord, we read, came upon him in power. Chapter 15 and verse 14. But he fell in love with a prostitute in Gaza, a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and he abused the power of God for a fleshly challenge, as sadly several men and women of God have done since. When the time came to wake up and stand up and defeat the Philistine enemies, Samson didn't even realize that the Lord had left him. Chapter 16 and verse 20 of Judges. How sad, dear friend, when the blessing of God's power is abused and misused for selfish ends or fleshly desires. So too, manifestations of God's power, wonderful as they are, don't always bear good fruit in the long term. And here Israel's first king, Saul, is a prime example. You can read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 19. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he prophesied, and prophesied, and prophesied. He stripped off his clothes, we read, and also prophesied in Samuel's presence. He lay that way all day and all night, the Bible says. And the people said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" It became a saying of the day. But sadly, once again, the power of self got in the way of the power of the Spirit of God. And ultimately, Saul lost his dominion, his authority, his victory. And God tore the kingdom away from him and gave it to a shepherd boy named David, who was a man after God's own heart. And when the kings of Israel and Judah failed, God put his Spirit on faithful prophets like Elijah and Elisha Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel. And then ultimately came the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the Spirit of God was given without measure. And then came Pentecost, the fulfillment of that ancient Jewish festival, and the birth of the Church of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, filled with the Spirit and with power. Peter preached a sermon centering on Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended, glorified, the Savior of all mankind, who died and rose again for our salvation. And over 3,000 Jews repented of their sins, placed their trust in Jesus as their Messiah and their Lord, were wonderfully born again of the Spirit into the family of God, demonstrated their faith in believers' baptism, and the church began. So let's get to our text and see what the blessing of God's power really means. And perhaps nowhere better to learn that than from the prayers of the Apostle Paul and the experience of the early church. And so look once again at Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. Paul prays, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, "may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also," he says, "that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints," that is, every believer, every Christ follower, "and his incomparably great power for us who believe," that is, us who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord, Shepherd, and Friend. That power, the Apostle Paul says, is like the working of God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What an amazing prayer, praying that the same power that raised Jesus from the tomb and enthroned him in glory is at work in us who are Christ followers today. What does Paul pray for when he prays for power? Well, certainly not power to give us goosebumps or a nice feeling or a heady experience, although sometimes that comes with the blessing. Not power to exalt us to a place of recognition or prominence. Not power to hang glide over the valleys of testing and trial or tragedy or sickness. Not power to get wealthy and fat and self-indulgent, certainly not. And not power to wield over others. What is the Apostle Paul praying for when he prays for the blessing of God's power to be experienced in the lives of these Christians? First of all, the blessing of spiritual wisdom and understanding that will enable them to know Christ more intimately. Paul prays that we may know the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us in such a way that we will understand the will of God for our lives, that we will move into more intimate relationship with Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Secondly, he's praying that the blessing of spiritual enlightenment may help us to know the calling that God has placed upon our lives as Christians, what God has called us to become in our relationship with Jesus and to do for Christ as we live out the will of God for our lives. That's the power, the blessing of God's power that he's praying for. Spiritual wisdom and understanding, enabling us to know Christ more intimately. the blessing of knowing what God is calling us to become in Christ and to do for Christ. Thirdly, the power to comprehend more and more of the inheritance that Christ has for his people and the inheritance that we have as his people in Christ. The power to realize the hope that we have as believers. And may I remind you that that word hope in the Bible is not a hope so, like we expect this today. It really means the certainty, the assurance, the reality that we have as believers to come to fruition. Paul is praying that through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us as believers, we may actualize the incredible investment that Jesus has made in us, both for time and eternity. And then fourthly, the power to know that we are destined for the throne. God wants you to know, my friend, that you are destined for the eternal throne, to reign with Christ forever and ever, that the same power that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and enthroned him in glory is at work in you through the Holy Spirit of God. That's what Paul is praying for, and that's power. All hail King Jesus, we sing. All hail Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. Throughout eternity we'll sing your praises, and we'll reign with you forever and forever. And that's the power that is at work within us as Christ followers, but we'll never comprehend it without the Holy Spirit, the source of power, bringing us enlightenment and revelation, opening the eyes of our spiritual understanding, what Paul calls the eyes of our heart, to understand who Christ is, what he's done for us, what he's called us to become, and what he's going to enable us to do. That's what Paul is praying for in Ephesians 1. And now look at Ephesians chapter 3 again, from verse 14 to 21, where Paul is at prayer again for the Christ followers at Ephesus. If you want to know what a person is spiritually, or where a person is spiritually in their relationship with the Lord, listen to that person praying. Do you pray these kind of prayers? Paul prays, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul is praying that through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we as believers will know the power of God to dethrone self and enthrone the Savior. "And I pray," he says, "that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God." What an amazing prayer. Now that's the blessing of power. God's Holy Spirit powerfully working in our lives so that we can become more like Jesus, experience his residency and his presidency in our lives, and know all the wonderful dimensions of his love, and so be filled with God himself. Wow, does that sound like your prayers? I hope so. It ought to. The blessing of God's power, the indwelling Holy Spirit, once again, for what end? First, that you may know and experience Christ's residency, that Jesus may be at home in your heart, that he may be residing and presiding in your life as Lord of all, that as you believe and as you put your faith into action day by day, you'll be strengthened through the Holy Spirit of God to experience Christ dwelling in you, at home in your heart, residing as your Redeemer and reigning as your Lord. And then secondly, the power to know all the dimensions, the unfathomable dimensions of the love of Christ, and to enjoy the flow of that love of all with all God's people, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Doesn't that sound mighty? That's our inheritance as believers. The same power that raised Jesus from the tomb is at work within us. this God, verse 20, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, how? According to his power that is at work within us. That's the power that the Apostle Paul experienced. That's the power that the Apostle Peter experienced. That's the power that Philip experienced. It's the power that Stephen experienced when he was being stoned to death for his testimony about Jesus. And he looked up and saw heaven opened and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. And he cried out, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. It's the power that Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and so many others have experienced, and I pray it's the Holy Spirit power and enabling that you will experience too, my friend, day by day. Power to bring us glory and significance? No, not at all. Power so that God's glory may be manifested in the life of his church. Power to get the church looking and acting like Jesus. That's what sums it all up. It's the power of the Holy Spirit getting us as individuals and corporately as the church, the body of Christ on earth, to look more and more like our living head, to think, speak, and act more and more like Jesus through the Holy Spirit's powerful enabling. The blessing of God's power, that's what it's for. Don't ever forget the lesson the Apostle Paul had to learn, that power is best manifested through our natural weakness. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, he calls it, some physical affliction. He cried out to God 3 times to remove it, and the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it, but I want you to know that my grace is sufficient for you and that my power is best manifested through your weakness. Praise the Lord. Story of my life, is that the story of your life? When we are weak, says the Apostle, then we are strong. When we recognize our own weakness, our own unworthiness, our own inadequacy, our own inability, we're right at the place where God, by his Holy Spirit, can use us powerfully. The blessing, the impartation of God's power, what a blessing! The indwelling, the infilling, the anointing and giftings of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. To what end? To see it worked out in the acts of the Holy Spirit in the post-Pentecost church. And we're still living in that glorious day when the Holy Spirit of Jesus is given to all who believe, trust him and obey. Power to glorify God, dear friend. Power to demonstrate the life and character of Jesus. Power to boldly witness to the truth as it is in Jesus. Power to share the gospel. To be like the Apostle Paul who said to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I didn't come with some kind of superior wisdom or human eloquence. No, I came in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, so that my message would not be in my own strength, but in the power of God. Paul says to the Thessalonian Christians, we know that you have become children of God because our gospel came to you in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full conviction, and you turned from the dead idols of your life to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's what it is, the blessing of God's power, to share the good news about Jesus with others and to see the life-transforming power of the gospel. No wonder Paul wrote to the Romans and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It's the power of God leading to salvation to all who believe. Power to serve in God's church at the point of God's gifting. Power to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit in God's way, in our ministry to the Lord, in our ministry to the church, in our ministry to the world. Power to reach a lost and dying world. That's the power that God gives us. The blessing of God's power to obey, to suffer where necessary, to be holy, to be victorious, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Power, the blessing of God's power, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, filling, flooding, refreshing, renewing, enabling, gifting, teaching, counseling, helping, convicting, so that we can become more and more like Jesus and make him known. What a blessing, the blessing of God's power. I bless you with the power of God. I pray that you'll receive the power of God to know Christ more intimately and to make him known more effectively. That power is a person, the Holy Spirit of Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 68 and verse 28, summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. How we need that in this 21st century. Psalm 77 and verse 14, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Won't you do it again, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel and the salvation of lost people? And Psalm 71 and verse 18, I like this one. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Are we passing on the blessing of God's power? The power to know Christ more fully. The power to know Christ more fully known. To be able to share the good news, the gospel of Christ, in the demonstration of the Spirit's power. God help us that we may enjoy the power of God, the blessing of God in our lives so powerfully that Christ will be able to work through us, primarily through our own natural weakness, to bring others to repentance and faith in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you today for the blessing of your presence, and we thank you today for the blessing of your power, the power to transform our lives so that we can become more and more like Jesus, the power to so live for Christ that we may lead more and more others to him. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.